Please pray with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So when I meet with the families of somebody that wants to baptize a child, I go around the room and I ask everyone what baptism means to them. And if there's five people, I get five different answers. So then we have a brief question and answer session, and I'm going to have that question and answer session about baptism with you today. True or false? Let's see. Right hand true, left hand false. One, only a pastor can baptize someone. True or false? False. Very good. Although it is preferred to have someone baptized by an ordained pastor during a worship service, in the case of imminent death, a layperson can baptize someone. Second, you can be baptized more than once, true or false? In the Lutheran Church, we believe that you can only be baptized once. You can affirm your baptism, but you can't repeat it. Because baptism is when you become a part of Christ's body, and that doesn't need redoing. Three, people can be baptized after they die. So we usually do not baptize someone after they die. We do commend them to God's grace. Four, baptism is a sacrament. It's true. What is a sacrament? A sacrament is defined as God's command that uses earthly elements like water, bread, and wine to deliver God's grace, forgiveness, and promises of salvation, creating and strengthening our faith. So we Lutherans believe there are two sacraments, baptism and communion. Excellent. Number five, last one. Only water is used in baptism.
False.
You guys are so good. False. Oil is used to make the sign of the cross on someone's forehead, and we light a candle to show the light of Christ. So what actually is an ELCA baptism? Well, according to the ELCA, quote, in holy baptism, the triune God delivers us from the forces of evil, puts our sinful self to death, gives us new birth, adopts us as children, and makes us members of the body of the Christ, which is God's church. Holy baptism is received by faith alone, unquote. Okay, so that describes our baptism, but what about the baptism at the time of Jesus? Because this was a Jewish baptism, much different than a Christian one. In Judaism, baptism is a ritual washing called a mikvah, and it's done to purify yourself. The Hebrew scriptures describe some of the washings that are actually required by law to be cleansed from ritual impurity. The Talmud tells us what makes the water clean or unclean. A large, fresh, flowing body of water is preferred so that people can immerse themselves. So people immersing themselves in the Jordan River wouldn't have been unusual. These washings were repeated as often as needed. But the focus was not on moral sin. It was on restoring ritual purity so you could go worship in the temple. Now, Jewish tradition also developed the practice of baptism for converts. A Gentile who wanted to join Israel's covenant community would undergo, if they were male, a circumcision, offer a sacrifice, and then enter a mikvah for ritual washing. This mikvah symbolized a break with their Gentile past into a new identity with the people of God. This use of baptism makes it a powerful symbol of transition. I mean, you could still repeat the mikvah later, but this baptism highlighted how washing crossed somebody over from one spiritual state to to another. Now, John the Baptist stood at this turning point between Jewish baptism and Christian baptism. His baptism in the Jordan River was not for ceremonial cleansing, but to repent, to prepare for the coming Messiah. Unlike the mikvah, John's baptism wasn't self-administered. You couldn't do it yourself. It required submission to somebody else, emphasizing humility and dependence on God's mercy. John redefined baptism as a forward-looking act to prepare the way for Christ. His call to repent anticipated the deeper transformation Jesus would bring through his death and resurrection. Now, note that Matthew puts Jesus' baptism at the beginning of his ministry. He hasn't done a thing yet. No miracles, no preaching, no disciples. To everyone around him, he is just Jesus. When he's baptized, the heavens open, and God tells him he is beloved. Now everyone knows he's not just Jesus from Nazareth. He has a special place in God's heart. His baptism is a beginning. We may forget that our baptism, no matter what age we are baptized, is a beginning for us. Too often, parents have their child baptized because that's what's expected. They have a nice party, then they put the candle and that baptismal cloth away in the drawer, never to see it again. Maybe we should celebrate the day we're baptized, just like we celebrate our birthday. Because our birthday is the beginning of our mortal life. Our baptism is the beginning of our eternal life. Laura Becker told me on Epiphany that she had just celebrated her baptismal day by lighting a now very tiny candle. So, I invite you, if you wish, to affirm your baptism right now. You've not been baptized, you're still welcome to participate. I mean, what better way to start the new year than to remember that we too are God's beloved? So let us pray. Merciful God, we thank you that you have made us your own by water and the word in baptism. You have called us to yourself, enlightened us with the gifts of your Spirit, and nourished us in the community of faith. Uphold us and all your servants in the gifts and promises of baptism, and unite the hearts of all whom you have brought to new birth. We ask this in the name of Christ, and we respond, Amen. Amen. Dear congregation, do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God, the powers of this world that rebel against God, and the ways of sin that draw you from God? If so, respond, we renounce them.
We renounce them.
Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? Live among God's faithful people, hear the word of God, and share in the Lord's Supper. Proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed. Serve all people following the examples of Jesus, and strive for justice and peace in all the earth. If so, answer, we do, and ask God to help and guide us.
We do, and ask God to help and to guide us.
Okay. So here we go. I'm going to say a phrase, and you're going to repeat after me. I am beloved.
I am
a child of God. I am a beloved child of God.
I am beloved.
Oops. I am a child of God.
I am a beloved child of God.
I am beloved.
I am
a child of God.
I
I am a beloved child of God. I didn't forget about you guys. I am beloved. I am a child of God. I am a beloved child of God. I am beloved.
I am beloved.
I am a child of God. I am a beloved child of God. Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give us new birth, cleanse us from sin, and raise us to eternal life. Stir up in your people the gift of your Holy Spirit, the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Dear church, come to this table of grace, then go and remember your baptism is the beginning. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Please rise for the hymn of the day.